Blog Talk Radio.
As I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
Challenges in your life. Understanding, of course, that domestic violence is not necessarily isolated to a given race or a given gender. Today we want to shed light on an obvious problem. You've seen all the momentum that, you know, different factions, MDA gets obviously a lot of notice and gets a lot of money. Breast cancer awareness gets a lot of notice and money. But we tend to shy away from the honest-to-goodness reality that domestic violence is a problem in our society. So today, like we've done all week long, we want to shine a light on that. And I need your assistance to do that. So 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 is the number. You can hit me up to be part of the show. Maybe you've got something to share, perspective to share, maybe a testimony to share, something in your life that maybe you yourself wants to maybe share, get off your chest. Or maybe if you know someone that's in need of some assistance, some guidance. I don't sit here and purport to have all the answers. I would never do that. But if I can get you some direction, maybe point you in a way where you can get the support and help you need, perhaps there's an answer. And if we can keep one more brother from putting his hands on his woman or his child, and maybe we can give that guy an opportunity to make some better decisions in his life, maybe we keep a brother out of jail. Maybe we keep those numbers down. And maybe we save a relationship. Maybe we save a family. Maybe we, some way, shape, or form, have a positive effect on the lives of someone important. So today, this February 16, 2012, is really about you and what it is you need, what it is you're going through. We said it all week long. We'll continue to say it as long as we have breath in our body. You're not alone out there in this fight, in this challenge. And the concept of a time to heal, is broader than Vince's idea or Vince's intentions of trying to reach the masses to stop the violence. It's about sometimes nothing more than what you can do for a friend, a neighbor, and targeting an obvious problem. I posted something last night that simply said, silence no more. Many of you know things that are going on in your house, neighbor's house, so on and so forth, and you've done nothing about it, you've said nothing about it. That time is over. It's over. Today we're going to touch on the effects of domestic violence on mothers and children, and I want your feedback. Again, 619-639-4747. Don't be shy. The phone lines are open. We're also going to hear from some songs that are going to probably, I know one song we're going to play today is really going to offend you. I want to share something with you that it just struck me as, I can't believe four sisters made this song. But then when I found out who wrote the song and some of the history behind it, okay, maybe I need to take myself back to the 60s and 50s, when a time when domestic violence was more prevalent in the house. And really, when I say no one did anything about it, no one. It was almost expected in some way. And a group named the Crystals, I don't want to say they were forced to make a song, but they recorded a song called He Hit Me, and it felt like a kiss. Now, the title alone is offensive. Of course, it's the 21st century now. It's 2012, and hopefully we're a little smarter, a little more in tune with what's really going on in society, and this may be the successful advent of social media. There are cameras on everything. Everyone's got a smartphone. Everyone's got a phone with a camera on it. It's so hard to get away with things nowadays. It's scary. Yet, and still too many of us are silent about this issue of domestic violence. But when I heard this song, I was taken back. And in an era where we sing so much about redemption and women taking care of the business in their own home, and we have movies like Enough where here you have a woman being abused and battered, and in the end ultimately winds up killing her husband. To know that this song was recorded and that there were four sisters that recorded the song and sang it with the grace of the 60s, obviously, and you'll get to hear that today. I promise you, before we call it a day, we're going to play that song for you. We're also going to hear from Nickelback today. We're going to hear a little bit from Tracy Chapman today. And we're just going to share. And hopefully you all take it upon yourselves at 619-639-4747. To my friends down in Galesburg, and the I always like to call it Abingdon, the south suburb of Galesburg, but Abingdon, Illinois, you've got the number as well, 619-639-4747. If you've got a smartphone, hit us up. If you want to just post things on Facebook to the page, feel free to do that as well. Just be a part of it. And again, our job today is to be part of the solution and shed a light on an obvious problem in this world. So as we move forward, we're going to rock and roll. Now, again, you all really like this ball and chain that we've played now for the last 2 days. You keep asking for this. It is a wonderful soundbite. It's 4 minutes and 42 seconds long. And if you haven't heard it, this will be your first. Check out Bailey's version, Ball and Chain.
I look in the mirror. I don't recognize this reflection. Thinking back, I got lost in this projection. Slowly reminiscing about the trials and tribulations. Jesus saved me. Covered by his blood, I'm now safe. An innocent being turned into a craze. The flesh abused through an obsessed rage. And so I told her, love isn't a mile run. So if there's a run, it's because he's running from you. Love shouldn't be dangerous, hence love didn't exist. You see, you created this illusion. Regardless if the abusing was intense, you gave him the love that made sense to you. Drawn with the ink of eyeliner, cover-ups, illuminating lips. The sway of the hips is what kept him on focus. Nobody noticed the smile made up, the hesitation to wake up. Those nights where the bottle wouldn't leave your hand, he did nothing but hold it higher. For you to drown in the sense of something so disgusting. Didn't care if your lust was just because you were drunken. Didn't care that that cough you had could have been something else. That those Newports would prove that one day, sooner than later, you would die. Didn't care when those shadows laid hands and penetrated you while half past dead. Didn't move a muscle when you cried and wished to die with a knife in your hand so high. I don't want to be here anymore. 4 years, like a ball and chain tied to a beast. I watched you every single day wake up and want to sleep again. Rather live in the Alice in Wonderland than to breathe the same air as him. The swelling on your face spoke a thousand words. Why'd he hit you and you still wanted to be his girl? Instilling fear that it would hurt like a serenade of a singer. Because manipulation was at its greatest. You see, I'm staring at this reflection, not recognizing this projection. I was susceptible to either side, but the balance was losing grip, slowly slandering down into the depths of the devil's pit. That alcohol was my hydration. That reefer was my motivation. See, when I was in control, I seemed to always stumble. So I gave myself a reason. Get drunk, get the fool out, and blame all the mistakes on you. Kept you from your friends and from your passions. Was like a ball and chain tied behind bars you were held captive. See, in my mind, in order to survive was to make sure that I died. Each sip was a step closer. Each sip made me feel nothing. Numb to the hits that were placed on my face. The tug of war with my hair didn't hurt as much. This body wasn't being cherished. It was getting prepared to be buried because then I felt it was worth none. Seated in a bathroom, hiding from the rage, praying for somebody to save me, holding a knife beside me, lifting up my sleeve, my Bible telling me to cut me. Carved not deep enough was the word love. I wanted to see it. Because it wasn't around me at all. Fear not, for I am with you. Something inside me told me to no longer be afraid. I knew I could die from my next move, but in my eyes there was nothing more I could lose. Even though I was at my weakest, I felt stronger than ever. I was giving myself away, powered by my Lord, conquering the devil. And so I said, I'm done. It's over. You need to go. Confrontation was in heat, but his grin was cheek to cheek. Smiles and it's okay was on repeat. It took a split second for blood to drip, landing in the arms of a woman whose strength to control. See, in that moment, my mother was empowered by God's strength. This little lady wasn't afraid of this beast who made her daughter bleed. She looked dead in his eyes and now it felt defeat. So as I'm staring at this reflection, thanking God for this blessing, because even though my teeth need to work and my nose and jaw will never feel the same, I'm thankful for that day. The ball and chain was broken.
That is Bailey's Ball and Chain right here on A Time to Heal. 3 days down, we're going to do this throughout the week. Just want to share as much information with you as possible. There's absolutely no perfect answer. So a lot of times it starts with getting information and knowing that you've got options. We've heard it said many times in domestic violence situations, you know, why didn't she leave? While it may be more comfortable thinking of domestic violence as a danger than we can see easily and avoid, in all reality, domestic violence often has a slow, chronic onset where it is difficult to pinpoint where the honeymoon ended and the violence began. Small changes, such as constantly criticizing her choice of friends or questioning her ability to spend money wisely, often turn into patterns that create isolation and dependence. Add in the element of physical violence, which places the mother in constant fear for her life and the lives of her children and robs her of her self-confidence and her social support. And now you have a picture of a typical family struggling to escape this cycle of violence. Strong women, women with access to resources, educated women, and most likely women you know and respect have all fallen victim to this cycle. The question of why didn't she leave then more aptly turns into it's a miracle they escaped. Look at the onset of domestic violence. Once a family has become steeped in the cycle of violence, mother and children exist in a constant high adrenaline state of fight, flight, or freeze. It becomes biologically more difficult to make decisions, see exits, and believe in your own ability to find safety. Like a deer caught in headlights, unable to move, these patterns are in full effect, whether or not you're actually hit directly. Children who witness, hear, or are in any way aware of the danger to their mothers know instinctively that their own safety is also at risk. Like prey scurrying to the burrow when the predator is on the prowl, they understand that everyone's safety is threatened. So to the brothers out there, what do we do about this? You know, women have been fighting this fight for a very, very long time. And just like my boys down in Atlanta, Men Stopping Violence have tried to establish and instill since 1984. This is a man problem as much as it is a woman problem. We have to stop, man. We have to stop. And I'm still looking for you, Chris Carter, to be part of this. Give me some of that, come on, man. There's a better way. Yeah, if it takes you that extra second to take a deep breath, give yourself the second to say, this is not the way I want this to go. This is not the outcome. Stop listening to your silly friends telling you to handle your girl or handle your situation the way, you know, maybe their daddies or granddaddies may have implored to them to handle it. Love is not supposed to hurt. It's just not. So, moving right along. 42 left in the show, 619-639-4747. You know, the part of the challenge of doing a show like this, especially when you're an energy guy and we do sports on the weekends, and there's always so much excitement around that, and you get thousands and thousands of fans and sporting events and venues all over the nation, and you're kind of geeked up, is the harsh reality that even in the household on the greatest day in sports, the day of the Super Bowl, somewhere along the line, the numbers don't change. 1 in 3 women are victims of domestic violence. It's challenging. It's heartfelt. I shared with you yesterday. I've been married for 16 years, and in those 16 years, I've never raised a hand to my wife. I've never called her out of her name. And as I alluded to yesterday, I'm far from perfect. I've made my fair share of mistakes. And I look to my child every single day, and I try to find something positive in the smile, even with the peer pressure she's up against at high school. You know, and then when I talk to my friends down in Atlanta at Men Stopping Violence, and they have a program, you know, because we have daughters. And I thought to myself, man, that is powerful. If you're a brother out there right now that happens to have a child, that happens to be a girl, you have a daughter. What if I told you that you can genuinely affect the situation in her social life later in life? You know, it's not a perfect world, and I can't sit here and tell you definitively that she's not going to be one of those 1 of 3 that's going to be involved in a domestic violence situation. She's going to pick him maybe because he was nice to her, maybe she was cute. We heard stories yesterday of people who married 7 years before the violence began. 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years. Then some set of circumstances triggered it. This is why I look to the brothers. We have to do this. We have to stop this. We have to curtail this. It's easy for me to sit here on a national radio show and tell you to just walk away. It's easy. It's too easy for me to sit here and tell you that you should just bail. That is far, far too easy. No. No, brothers, we're deeper than that. And so here we go. Here goes Uncle Fuzzy, the big man himself, into the highways and byways of this universe, espousing that you stop putting your hands on your woman. Stop putting your hands on these children. Stop abusing. Just stop. Give yourself the free, if nothing more, give yourself the freedom that you already had. by not doing the dirt, not raising your hand. Walk away, man. Did she hit you? Did she call you out your name? Did she jump down your throat because you forgot to do something in the house? You know, were you supposed to do something and you promised and you failed in some capacity? Dude, I want you to grab a mirror, man. Look in that mirror and find you. Take yourself to task. And then when that situation arises, and it will in many households, before you lift a hand to her or to your child or think you need to lift your hand to cousin so-and-so because he did something, there is a better way. Whether it's Men Stopping Violence down in Atlanta, whether it's, you know, the Joyful Heart Foundation, there are so many options. 1-800-729-SAFE. If you know of anyone in a situation, 1-800-729-SAFE. You have options. You have choices. 12:20 in your afternoon on Thursday. Want to share the American Epidemic with you. Also want to share a little bit of Nickelback. We talked about Tracy Chapman and some music from those guys in this show today. 619-639-4747. Without further ado, and guys, now you know me. For those of you who really, really know me, I enjoy having fun. But and this week has really been taxing because these kinds of shows, you know, you have to be cautious with what is comic and what is funny in an era like this when you're talking about something as sensitive as domestic violence. Yet again, I'm going to try to handle this with as much grace as possible. You know, I'm looking at all the wonderful tools on my little dashboard here and all the things that we use on the weekends with all the sports talk and realize, man, we do have a lot of fun. And in the midst of all that fun, sometimes we lose sight of the severity of so many situations in this world. That said, this is American Epidemic. Check it out.
Second, we're a safe haven for people. And so the hospital itself is a place where people can feel safe and comfortable. And the opportunity of hospitals to do assessment, to do screening, and then to offer opportunity for resources is something we have a great opportunity to do.
The prosecutors can't do it alone. The police officers, the doctors, the service providers cannot do it alone. But if we all work together and work together as a team to address every need and aspect of the victim's situation, then it is a game that we can win. Because when we work together, we make a really formidable opponent.
Be smarter than I am. Just because you have degrees, or you make a lot of money, or you don't think you have a way out if you have no money, there are support groups, there are people that will help you find a way out. And anything, any place is better away from that environment.
If we could paint a picture of a brighter future, one thing that we definitely have to do is we have to detach the stigma of domestic violence. I think that there is this persona that domestic violence is what happens to other people. It doesn't happen to normal people. It doesn't happen to, you know, middle class people who go to their jobs and get educations and just live their lives. But we know it does. And it happens everywhere. And people need to learn to speak out. We need to empower women to ask for help, to seek help when they're in these situations, that we will believe them, that there are places they can turn, whether it's our victim shelters or calling the police, calling 911, going to a trusted friend, a neighbor, the local clinic, the hospital. But how can we stop it before it happens? Or when we start that cycle, how can we intervene in the middle of it? That's when we're going to have a brighter picture of tomorrow.
It's going to continue to be a journey, and not only for me, but for my children, and perhaps for their children. But we've got each other, and God willing, we're here together to work through it.
I saw that this was just going to destroy my life, going to destroy me, that I had to turn it around and do something positive. And that's when we started working with the shelters and setting up scholarships.
Let it go. And move on, because life is too short and you deserve the best.
Windows to my soul, a doorway to my dreams. It's a little bit of everything. It's a mixture of, you know, my hopes, my dreams, my desires, and my aspirations, and I vision myself doing these different things, you know. I do believe in the concept of visualization, you know. If you can see it and you think it, and as long as you vision yourself doing something, it's going to happen. I truly believe that, you know. I really, really do. Realize that you are a strong woman, and you want someone who's going to encourage you and love you and make you want to pursue your dreams. That's important. It really is important. So just get out. Move on. You know, better things are going to happen, but in order to start something new, you have to do away with the old. You have to do away with the past. And in order for good things to happen in your life, you have to get rid of the bad first. You know, it's scary at first because you don't know what you're going to do. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be scared. But most importantly, you're still alive to feel that way. So that's important. At least you're still alive, and you have another day to make a change. But you have to start today. You have to. I am now 35 years old, so it's been 10 years since my experience. Everything is falling into place for me. It's great. It's great.
You remember when we couldn't say the word breast? The shame attached to a woman going in and talking about breast cancer, you know, 20 years ago was terrible. You know, so we've really got a lot of work to do to be able to go in and talk openly and honestly about abuse so that women can hear that it's okay to talk about it so we can move ahead like we have on breast cancer. That'd be wonderful. I'm going to live to see that happen. I think I am.
Powerful stuff. Yeah, powerful stuff. The voices of women coming out of situations that were obviously very, very dangerous. Again, we want to apply certainly a voice to the stories. 12:26 for your afternoon. Happy lunch break for those of you checking us out that way. For those of you who will play this back later on this afternoon, God bless you. I appreciate you at least coming out and getting the knowledge, getting the information that's available to you. I promised you at the outset of the show I would play this song for you. The group was called The Crystals. The song was called He Hit Me. Now, if this ought to anger you, because I say that obviously biased. I've heard the song. I still can't believe this was recorded. I can't believe Paul Spector wrote this song. I understand it was a different time, but we're going to talk about this and the effect that music has in this arena. And again, I preface this saying, you know, if you are an advocate of any measure, 619-639-4747, you may want to give me a holler after you hear this one. This was The Crystals back in 62, I believe, recording a song called He Hit Me. Take a deep breath. Here you go.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss. He hit me, but it didn't hurt me. He couldn't. I had been untrue.
still cannot believe that that song by the Crystals, He Hit Me, was recorded by some sisters. And I understand it was a different time, and heaven knows they were probably driven and directed to do that. But seriously, 619-639-4747. I'm still having the roughest time with that one, and it still angers me to think that it was okay to record a song that He Hit Me, but it didn't hurt, and it felt like a kiss. Come on, man. I'm thankful that we're a little bit more keenly aware of the severity of the acts. And again, I take the brothers to task on this completely. We just got to be better. We just got to do better. You're listening to A Time to Heal. My name is Vinnie Moore. It's 12:30 for your lunch break. Hope things are going well in your world. 619-639-4747. I'm still looking for you to chime in. Before we shut it down today, we'll hear from Nickelback with Never Again. And, you know, I may blow the dust off the Shannon Sharp one more time so you guys can get a piece of that as we continue forward talking about domestic violence, the effects of it, the onset of it. I want to give you certainly some outlets. You know, we've already talked about 1-800-729-SAFE for those of you. And again, yeah, this needs to actually, you know, I'm not hating on the breast cancer awareness, but this situation is bigger. It's bigger. It's more poignant. And it's hidden, it's silent, and I'm having the roughest time that we're okay with being silent about it. 619-639-4747. Back in a minute.
Hi from Progressive.
Flo here, coming at you live from Progressive. Today's topic is
savings.
Our first caller is Betty.
Hi, Flo. My insurance company just sent me a bill, and it went up again. Can you guys help me get a better rate?
Betty, you came to the right place. Only Progressive has the Name Your Price option.
Name Your Price.
That's great. How does it work?
We'll give you a starting point, and you adjust it based on your needs, so you're only paying for what you want.
Betty's calling the shots.
Let's go to our next caller. She's from my hometown, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
Flo, is that you? Just a little reminder about the family reunion. You should talk to Uncle Gene about getting a ride to the
house. Mom, I thought we agreed you weren't going to call here anymore.
Name your price for car insurance. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Available in most states for new quotes. Price match may be limited.
We've all dreamed of going back in time, stepping into a machine and going back hundreds of years. Well, there is a place where time travel is possible. The Henry Ford, America's greatest history attraction. Here, time travel happens every day. Here, we spend time with famous inventors and the ordinary people who prove they could do extraordinary things. We can read the textbooks, we can look it up online. But history is more than where we've been. It's how we got to be who we are. Here we can touch it, walk around in it, relive it. Let's watch history come alive at Greenfield Village. Marvel at the magic of invention at Henry Ford Museum. Or take a first-hand journey through American genius on the Ford Rouge factory tour. So let's take a step back in time, because knowing where we come from is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Welcome back on the ride. 25:25 left in today's episode, A Time to Heal. We spent the entire week largely talking about domestic violence, and we've given you a tremendous amount of information. We've given you numbers, you know, 1 out of 3, and, you know, we hear about, you know, 1 in 9 in Massachusetts resulted in murder. Just crazy, crazy numbers, and I've probably overindulged in statistics and probably turned my brain into some level of soup. But let's talk a little bit about coping strategies where domestic violence is concerned. Believing there are ways you can predict the violence is a common coping strategy used to survive living in violence, you know, the equivalent of walking on eggshells. Children and mothers alike, you know, may cope with a constant feeling of danger by tiptoeing around the violence in an attempt to avoid a dangerous episode. By trying to perfect, you may hold on to the hope that you can control the situation as a way to protect yourself. Other ways children may cope include, you know, siding with the violent parent in order to avoid being a target, spacing and numbing out and creating rituals for safety. And while these coping strategies may help one survive at the moment, they often create patterns that wreak havoc on the rest of their lives. Dissociating or spacing out helps children separate themselves from the violence and serves as an emotional protection, but also makes it difficult to focus in school, remember important information, and be present actually in a conversation. These patterns can become ingrained as a way of living and impact not only current functioning but future relationships as well. You know, placement of blame. While it's easy for us to see that a child is not at fault for a violent dynamic in the family, it is much more of a complex issue for a child to understand. After months and years of having the belief reinforced that they are the cause of violence, it is both an academic and emotional process to internalize an entirely new belief system in which you, the child, are actually innocent. Unacknowledged losses. Sometimes, you know, what stays with a child and resonates as painful is different than what we might imagine. Children often describe in vivid detail the loss of favorite toys, worries that a pet will be hurt in retribution, and the loss of their normal daily structure. These losses may receive less time and attention than needed to process as the family struggles with the basics of survival, access to food, and safe bedding for the night. Ladies and gentlemen, this information is real. Like any of us trying to understand how someone can do this to their own family, children also struggle with a host of mixed feelings related to having a violent caregiver. One day they feel safe and loved, and the next day they're fearful for their own lives and themselves, their siblings, and even their parents in some cases. This constant duality makes achieving normal development milestones such as differentiation from the parents more painful and challenging. Carefree daydreams about becoming ballerinas and firemen in the future are replaced with loaded worries about becoming violent themselves or becoming a victim to others. There's also the desire to love and be loved by both parents and memories of good times and bad. Children may feel guilt for having happy memories and loving the violent parent, anger at both parents for the losses they are feeling, and a great deal of confusion of their own feelings and behaviors. It's time to heal, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to heal. We've all been through a lot of things in this world, and that, you know, obviously these things aren't going to change overnight. We have quite a bit of work to do. That said, I promise you, here's Nickelback with Never Again.
wild with a temper. Haven't you heard? Don't hit a lady. Kicking your ass would be a pleasure.
Today's ride, as we focus in on domestic violence against women, just some reiteration of information that we shared earlier in the week. The majority of domestic violence victims are women. One in three women report being physically or sexually abused by a husband or boyfriend at some point during their lives. One in three. What does this mean? It means you know this person. It means you know someone. You know something about it, and for all intents and purposes, you may even be involved. Domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women. But as always is the case, Uncle Fuzz is here today. You're not alone. If you or someone you know needs help, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 800-799-7233, understanding that you are not alone. Let's apply a definition to domestic violence. You know, we've done this every single day, and maybe that should be just a caveat or kind of a protocol for, you know, shows like this one. Domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of behavior in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power and control over an intimate partner. Abuse is physical, sexual, emotional, economic, or psychological actions or threats of actions that influence another person. This includes any behaviors that frighten, intimidate, terrorize, manipulate, hurt, humiliate, blame, injure, or wound someone. Domestic violence can happen to anyone of any race, age, sexual orientation, religion, or gender. It can happen to couples who are married, living together, or who are dating. Domestic violence affects people of all socioeconomic backgrounds and education levels. No one, regardless of where you came from, what your socioeconomic status is above domestic violence. You know, we saw clips over the weekend from the movie Enough where the young man basically, and of course this is Jennifer Lopez's movie, and her husband in the movie's name is Mitch, basically hits her for the first time and she's kind of stunned. And then he starts to kind of implore and pound on her that, you know, he makes the money, he makes the decisions, it's his way or no way. And for those of you who've seen Enough, you know how that kind of all works itself out in the end, where she starts to get not only some help, but she starts to take ownership of her own survival. And in the end, takes Mitch out. Suffice to say, you know, while the movie has some significance and certain poignant moments and learnable lessons, you never, ever want to get that far. So our mission this week is to simply heal, to educate and empower, especially empower survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, and shed light into the darkness that surrounds these issues. And I would ask you, why are we so quiet on this? Why has this always been something we just don't talk about? Why? If you've got a perspective or an opinion, 619-639-4747 is that number, 619-639-4747. I don't know why we're quiet. I don't know why this is just okay. Is it we're ashamed? Are we afraid that someone's going to have to delve into our personal business? You know, are we embarrassed? I don't know. I promised you also some Tracy Chapman. Let me get that out of the way right now. This is Behind the Wall, courtesy of Tracy Chapman. Check it out.
Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all. And when they arrive, they say they can't interfere with domestic affairs between a man and his wife. And as they walk out the door, the tears well up in her eyes. Last night I heard the screaming, then a silence that chilled my soul. Prayed that I was dreaming when I saw the ambulance in the road. And the policeman said, I'm here to keep the peace. Will the crowd disperse? I think we all could use some sleep. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all.
That is Tracy Chapman's Behind the Wall. You're on a time to heal. 13 left in it. You know, it's funny because in the last 4 or 5 days, obviously we've talked to a lot of people, you know, and many are afraid to come on the air at 619-639-4747, perhaps for fear that, you know, their name or their location, they're involved in something. And maybe that's the ultimate fear, that you don't want this to come back to get you in an angry and another violent session that you're into. And I find myself, especially after the passing of Whitney Houston, not only listening to some of her music, but realizing that that woman was tormented in a lot of different ways. You know, again, largely of her own choices. But in the midst of all that, there is the blessing. You know, some of the music that she wrote, some of the songs she wrote are so relevant to not only this cause, but so many different causes around this world. So I challenge everyone today to be, and this may sound quirky for some of you fellas out there listening, but I challenge you today to be that every woman. I really do. Understand exactly what she's going through and what maybe some of your decisions, the effect that they've had on her. You know, I'm also very, very sensitive to not naming a lot of names. Obviously, for obvious reasons, you know, you've got your lives, and it's not my job to put your business out there in the world, and heaven knows the media does enough of that as it is. But in this moment when we have a chance to reflect and think about what we can do to stop or stem the tide, if you will, of domestic violence in this world, you need as many resources and options as you possibly can. And sometimes it's a matter of a song that uplifts you, that maybe changes, you know, the flow of your day. I don't know all the information about all the triggers that set some guys off that get them into that rage. You know, for a lot of fellas, you know, there is pressure. There's pressure on the job, pressure on the job. But that's not an excuse. That's never an excuse. There are better ways. Again, I read an article that said this couple had been married for 8-9 years, and out of nowhere, without ever having an issue of you know, physical violence before, he just came home one day, he was drunk, and he just started beating his wife. And you just have to know, you just have to ask, again, as outside look at the window, why did this happen? How did this happen? Yeah, and you really don't concern yourself now, because if he's gone to jail, he's gone to jail. I told you all yesterday about the clip of the young man who had his child videotape him abusing his mom. And when it went viral, so when all it hit the World Wide Web and the world got wind of what was going on in that household, the judge had no mercy whatsoever. This was, you know, a man who literally was showing his child how to abuse mommy. 36 years imprisonment. 36 years. Wow. And without thought or looking back, you know, in the healing process, then someone has to come in there again and spend the time to remind her of her self-worth, remind her of her value, you know, and try to, you know, establish some level of esteem with her again, give her a baseline and run and do those things. I know people say, well, it is what it is. Well, guess what? You're absolutely right. It is what it is. And the harsh reality is, it is a problem that we need to take care of. We as men, we as women, we as people in this country, you know, sometimes we're a little too full of ourselves, but it's a problem that's not going to go away anytime soon. So a little addition to the day, here's Whitney. I'm Every Woman on A Time to Heal. 5 minutes, 5 minutes left in your ride. 619-639-4747. Thank you all for being a part of today's ride. A couple of things before we call it a shift, if you will, or call it a day. Many of you want to know, how can I help a friend or family member who might be being abused or might be in that situation? Number one, don't be afraid to let him or her know that you're concerned for their safety. Help your friend or family member, recognize the abuse, tell him or her what you see, what's going on, and that you want to help. Help them recognize that what is happening is not normal and that they deserve a healthy and nonviolent relationship. Number two, acknowledge that he or she is in a very difficult and scary situation. Let your friend or family member know that the abuse is not their fault. Reassure him or her that they are not alone and that there is help and support out here. Number three, be supportive. Listen to your friend or family member. Remember that it may be difficult for him or her to talk about the abuse. Let him or her know that you're available to help whenever they may need it. What they need most is someone who will believe and listen to them. Number four, be non-judgmental. Respect your friend or family member's decisions. There are many reasons why victims stay in abusive relationships. He or she may leave and return to the relationship many times. Don't criticize his or her decisions or try to guilt them. He or she will need your support even more during those times. Encourage him or her to participate in activities outside the relationship with friends and family. If he or she ends the relationship, continue to be supportive of them. Even though the relationship was abusive, your friend or family member may still feel sad and lonely once it's over. He or she will need time to mourn the loss of the relationship and will especially need your support at that time. For the family, help him or her to develop a safety plan. Encourage him or her to talk to people who can provide help and guidance. Find a local domestic violence agency that provides counseling or support groups. Offer to go to them or her and talk to family and friends. If he or she has to go to the police, court, or lawyer, offer to go along if you can, if you can do that for moral support. And remember that you cannot rescue him or her. Although it is difficult to see someone that you care about get hurt, ultimately, the person getting hurt has to be the one to decide that they want to do something about it. It is important for you to support him or her and help them find a way to safety and to peace. And that's our show for today. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Thank you each and one of you for participating. I know I've got 2 minutes, but I've chatted quite a bit for the day. So you know what? We're going to call it a day. We're back again tomorrow, noon to one, once again, a time to heal. Said we'd do it all week long. That's not going to change today. So without further ado, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Remember that number is 619-639-4747, and we'll see you again tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good day, everybody.